Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we talk about forgiveness and reconciliation. This is a tough area for all of us, especially when we've experienced real injustice. How do we forgive? And I can't explain it all in one program, even two programs, not even in three programs. But I want to make an attempt today, as I have at different times, to make a particular point about reconciliation. When we withhold forgiveness, the person who suffers the most is ourselves. We really do. So what I want you to see is the power of forgiveness and what it can do. Let's take a look. The first book of Kings, chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab, the king, said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard to be my vegetable garden, since it is close by and it's next to my house. And I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will give you its value in money." And Naboth answered him, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral heritage." Ahab went home disturbed and angry at the answer Naboth, the Jezreelite, had made to him. "I will not give you my ancestral heritage." Lying down on his bed, he turned away from food and would not eat. Sometimes when we don't get what we want, what happens to us? We turn in on ourselves. And we cause ourselves great distraction. And sometimes it has serious consequences. So his wife, this is Ahab's wife, Jezebel, came to him and said to him, "Why are you so angry that you will not eat?" And he answered her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you a vineyard in exchange.' But he refused to let me have his vineyard." He refused to let me have his vineyard. And his wife Jezebel said to him, "A fine ruler over Israel you are indeed. Get up, eat, and be cheerful. I will obtain the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite for you." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and having sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and to the nobles who lived in the same city with Naboth. This is what she wrote in the letters: "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. Next, get two scoundrels to face him and accuse him of having cursed God and king. False accusation. Then take him out and stone him to death." They didn't get their way, so they want to kill, they want to destroy the other person. Sometimes we don't do that physically, but we think that way. We try to ruin reputations, all kinds of things. Take a look at this. His fellow citizens, the elders and nobles who dwelt in his city, did as Jezebel had ordered them in writing through the letters she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and placed Naboth at the head of the people. And two scoundrels came in and confronted him with the accusation, "Naboth has cursed God and king." And they led him out of the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent the information to Jezebel that Naboth had been stoned to death. When Jezebel learned that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Go on, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell you, because Naboth is not alive but dead." In hearing that Naboth was dead, Ahab started off on his way down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. There's all kinds of things you can learn from that particular passage. But do you see the selfishness? Do you see the self-centeredness? How often do we fall into that trap? Psalm 5 says, "Lord, listen to my groaning." There are times when we're taken advantage of, times when there are false accusations, malicious speech. "Lord, listen to my groaning. Come to my help, O Lord." And the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 5, verses 38 to 42, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. Jesus wants us to be generous. He wants us to be willing to share, not to hoard, not to gather, not to have at our fingertips everything we want, but to generously give, and that includes forgiveness. Remember how often I've said to you the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are asking God, forgive me the way I forgive. Is that what you want? Really? Seriously? Take a look at this, because you can end up, if it goes to extreme lengths, you can end up condemning yourself because you refuse to forgive. I've mentioned the author, Father Simon Marakakis. You've read some of his four-volume works, or at least I know from the emails I get that a number of you have gotten access through him. His books are published by Ignatius Press in California. And his study on Scripture, the Gospel of Matthew, is right now is 3 or 4 very thick volumes, and I don't think he's finished yet. Here's what he has to say about that passage. We want to shine by battling evil, to respond to an action with an identically mirrored reaction that is evil for evil is to lock the human situation of animosity in a hopeless impasse. It is thus to frustrate the work of God, whose deepest endeavor is the restoration of man to a state of harmony in the truth. The willingness to surprise our adversary with compassion, with love, with forgiveness, with justice according to the heart of Christ, in other words, performs a far more efficient and constructive task. It puts evildoers at the risk of being converted. And it dynamizes the whole of society by introducing into it the most divine of principles, self-giving at all costs. After my enemy has slapped both my cheeks, he will have run out of cheeks to slap, and perhaps he will be ashamed. After I have given him both tunic and coat, he will perhaps to learn to have pity on my nakedness. If I go the second mile with him, perhaps this will give us both the needed time and shared experience to pass from animosity to friendship. Perhaps all of his aggressiveness toward me comes from a lack of imagination, from a real ignorance concerning what other courses were available to him besides injustice and violence. Perhaps my open hands and my silent mouth become the most eloquent of teachers. And if so, I will have won a brother for the Lord. I could weep every time I think about that and about the people who have followed that and the friends they have made out of former enemies. Yes, there is a place for justice. It's the spirit with which you do it. But there is a huge place for forgiveness then, not holding on to grudges. Brothers and sisters, if you really want to know the Lord and you really want to know his love, you have to draw very, very close to him. And as I've said on a number of programs, simply look at the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. I'm sure you're saying it with me. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're saying to God, forgive me the way I forgive others. Is that what you want to say? That's what God is asking us to say, which then puts the burden on us to open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to forgive. Father Simon goes on to say, by not resisting evil, our Lord would say, you allow it to spend its fury and show its finiteness. You allow it to exhaust itself. You allow God's life to flow through you and fill the huge void you have by your seeming passivity created in your former adversary. By courageously choosing the path of humble and loving non-resistance, you have added one more stone to the construction of God's kingdom. Think about that. Think about that. I was just reading the testimony of a woman whose husband was killed in the years in a car accident, and a young family, and how awful it was in those years of regret and pain and agony and hatred for the one who had killed her husband. And then, by a marvelous set of circumstances, God opened her to the possibility of forgiving him. And she actually did it. She went to the prison where he was, and she forgave him. It's quite a story. It's quite a story, and I'll be doing more with that story. But right at the moment, I want to say, brothers and sisters, we may be terribly angry at someone who has wounded us deeply, and especially if someone killed a loved one. Of course. Of course. And especially when we see that it was his fault or her fault. Then we feel like we can unleash our anger and hatred. But the important thing is to go to the Lord first and say, Lord, what is in that person's heart? You know. You know. Teach me. Teach me how to forgive, that I may bring you to that person. That I may bring you to that person. God's got quite a ledger in heaven. You don't have to worry. You know, I'm owed forgiveness. I'm owed this much money. I'm owed this. We're really not owed anything. Though by law, yes, there is a place for justice. Absolutely. And it can be done well. But when it's done out of resentment and revenge and hatred and bitterness, it will never set you free. Never. Even if that person apologized to you 50 ways to Sunday, it won't change it for you, because what's in your heart is hatred and bitterness and a desire to destroy because you feel like you've been destroyed. I understand that, but it can't stay there. And the Lord is asking us to open up to his way, just as he has forgiven us, that we in turn may forgive others. And forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. I'm sure you longtime listeners can say this with me. Forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. It's the opposite of resentment and revenge. That was John Paul's teaching. Forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. If justice, if something needs to be restored or paid for or whatever, you can pursue that. But it's the attitude with which you do it. If you're seeking to destroy and melt them from everything, no one will be happy. Listen to the gospel and follow it. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.